Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Feel Good Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We made it to Friday, Mike. We made it to Friday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the C&G call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Jumpstart the new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. We'll get back to the conversation surrounding Joe Burrow and also the hiring of Doug Peterson with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But right now, Gojo, we got to go out to the call-in line because we got some people that got something to say about the hire of Doug Peterson down in Jacksonville. So let's go to Milo in Dallas. Milo, you're on with Canty and Golic Jr.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I don't really want to talk about the Doug Peterson situation. I really want to talk about the minority or African-American hiring practices in the NFL. And I really got 3 points if you guys are really be patient with me for just a few minutes. And I want to preface my comments by saying this. If I'm running a snow cone stand, a bar, a chicken shack, a sports team, or a Fortune 500 company, I would reserve the right to hire who I think is the best fit for my organization and to achieve the results that I want to achieve. So that's the preface. And I guess I've got a question to ask. Is this situation in NFL not a microcosm of everyday life in corporate America?
Oh, it certainly is, Milo. There's no question about it. But that's a part of what we're supposed to be trying to move away from if you're the National Football League. If you want to be on the front lines when it comes to fighting for equality and diversity, then you got to start by cleaning up the issues in your own house. And that's been the problem that I have with the empty slogans that the NFL paints the end zones with and talking about ending racism and equality, and it takes all of us. Clearly, it's not an equitable and fair hiring process for black coaches when we go through these hiring cycles. So while the clubs reserve the right to hire the very best candidate or the person that they feel like best fits the needs of their program, I have a hard time believing that there aren't qualified black coaches that can step into these roles and not only survive, but actually thrive. And we've seen examples of it throughout the course of the National Football League in the last 20 years. Look at what Mike Tomlin has been able to do. He's the only coach in NFL history to have 15 seasons with a team and to not have any of them be losing seasons. And then, oh, by the way, he got the 2 Super Bowls and won one of them. So it's clear that black coaches can do it at the highest level. It's just a matter of being afforded the opportunity to get the programs turned around like their white counterparts, and too often that's not the case.
Yeah, Chris, it's even tougher to have the conversation with the math you presented this offseason where you had 9 head coaching vacancies and it looks like a whopping 0 of them will be filled by minority candidates in a year where we talked about, man, it felt like we had a lot more. Like, normally, Chris, this for the last few years, it felt like an Eric Bieniemy conversation every year. I mean, yeah. We had Byron Leftwich involved in this conversation. We had plenty of defensive coordinators involved in this conversation. Guys like Leslie Frazier were getting back into the mix. And so it felt like it was going to be an even better chance this year. So for that math to fail so famously really hits home.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go out to Dre in Texas. Dre, you're on with Canty and Golic Jr.
Hey, what's up, Canty and Golic? I used to love you as a player. I used to love watching you. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to try to calm my nerves because I'm pissed off about this hire. I am a diehard Jaguars fan. I am sick of seeing these pathetic seasons. And, you know, what makes me mad, Doug Peterson has another chance to blow it. But Byron Leftwich, who was the best candidate, Fred Taylor said hire him. I mean, let me calm down. I am pissed off. And what makes me so mad, you know what? I guarantee y'all, Bieniemy, he'll get the New Orleans job. You know why? Because he can fail at it. It's a job that's impossible. It's a job that he can pretty much not do what they think he can do. He'll get a job like that so they can say, see, that's why we didn't hire him in the first place. And that's what pisses me off, especially with black coaches. They give black coaches jobs that they know is impossible, that they know they can't win it, and then when they don't win, well, we gave them a chance.
You know what,
see, that's what angers me.
Dre, we appreciate the call and the passion on that. And Chris, I think that's exactly the frustration, right, that we've heard from Brian Flores, that we heard from Hugh Jackson the other day, because you had two coaches put in basically the same situation that got opposite results. Hugh Jackson said the Browns laid out a four-year plan to lose, and he did that. He lost so well that they fired him for losing, and then Brian Flores went to a place where he's alleging they paid him to lose games. He didn't want to do that. He gave them back-to-back winning seasons for the first time since the early 2000s, and he was still shown the door for reasons that they had there. So it is one of those spots that I can understand if you're a black candidate looking at this right now, feels rather impossible.
No doubt, and it feels like when black coaches are elevated to these roles, the organizations that they're working for move the goalposts in terms of what the standard is and what success looks like, and that's the unfortunate part in all of this, Gojo, because it doesn't seem like the same thing is happening with their white counterparts, and that's all we have to compare it to. And so when we look at some of the leash or some of the runway that some of the white coaches in the National Football League get in comparison to the tenure that black coaches have, it's unfortunate. And then we start talking about the retreads, coaches that get a second opportunity in the National Football League. You don't see a lot of black head coaches getting a second job after failing at the first one. Now, of recent, we said that Todd Bowles is going to be a candidate that gets looked at, somebody that's name is floated out there in the hiring cycles in future years because of the job he's done with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But he failed as a head coach with the New York Jets. Now, I don't want to go into the details of that situation, but it was next to impossible knowing that he was going into a season on the hot seat with a rookie quarterback. And so there was a competing interest with the Jets in terms of trying to groom a rookie quarterback while your head coach is trying to fight for his job security in the way of winning as many games as he possibly can. Now, we'll see if Todd Bowles, in effect, gets another job. But, Gojo, you don't have that problem when it comes to white head coaches. And so I think if you're trying to be in denial about the disparity in the rates that white head coaches are hired in comparison to black head coaches, you're a part of the problem, and you're why the NFL can't get this issue cleaned up. And so I think that it's going to take everybody putting public pressure on these owners and on these clubs to seriously consider black candidates, and not in a token interview, but to actually do due diligence. And if they happen to be the most qualified candidate, going ahead and giving them the job. Because the reason or the rationale that the Jacksonville Jaguars had for not hiring Byron Leftwich, who seemed to be their favorite going into the coaching search, it just doesn't pass the smell test for me. Like, for him to want to take a job and want to get rid of the guy at general manager who brought in Urban Meyer and basically set that program back with a rookie quarterback, I can understand that. I get that. That makes sense to me. But for the organization to stay with Trent Baalke and go a different direction with the coach, even though it's a Super Bowl winning head coach, it still feels a little bit awkward to me. So I'm with that last caller 100%, although I do think Doug Peterson can do a solid job with Trevor Lawrence and the rest of that program. I do recognize that that job comes along with some strings that can make any coach uncomfortable.
Yeah, Chris, I guess that's the one thing that I would push back on. There was, you know, Doug Peterson, to fail again, he did win a Super Bowl 4 years ago. In fact, I saw Chris Long, Bo Allen, a number of the Eagles players posting their memories. It was 4 years ago today that they won the Super Bowl and managed to get that back in 2017. So he's got a resume that was going to get him another try. I mean, you want to talk about the specifics of a detail. There were a lot of people that were surprised at the end of his tenure in Philadelphia that they let him go in favor of keeping Carson Wentz, and then Carson Wentz ends up leaving, making everyone wonder why you didn't stick with Doug Peterson to begin with. So that really, Doug Peterson's not the issue. Doug Peterson is just another person involved in this process who, again, is going to be an example when the math is so overwhelmingly, like, we can zoom in on any one case and understand why a hire might get made, but then you zoom out and you highlight the numbers that you've constantly brought up on the show, Chris, and it gets really hard to defend a lot in this situation. So that's a lot of the difficulty here. We'll get to more of your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, though, as we start to finally, I mean, there is a football game next weekend. We are going to get to our last weekend with football in the calendar year next week. And we've got one quarterback to thank for the way that this matchup ended up here. What has Joe Burrow been able to do that even his counterpart across the field wasn't able to? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the CNG call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. We want to hear your reaction to the Jacksonville Jaguars hiring head coach Doug Peterson, amongst other things that we've been talking about. But Gojo, one of the things that we got to start getting into is the matchup in the Super Bowl. It feels like a footnote in comparison to the news that we've gotten from the NFL this week. But we do have the Super Bowl that is going down 10 days from now out at SoFi Stadium. And so we have to have some conversation around it. And two of the key figures in this is the quarterbacks, obviously, with Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford. And a lot of people have questions as to how the Cincinnati Bengals can get their program turned around so quickly, 2 years from having the, 2 years removed from having the number one overall pick to being in the Super Bowl. I think you have to attribute a lot of that success to Joe Burrow, and it's amazing that he's able to have this kind of production in a season coming off of a year where he had a torn ACL and he had to miss half of his rookie year. So really impressed by what Joe Burrow has done. But then that also begs the question of whether or not we're giving Joe Burrow too much credit and whether we're not giving Zach Taylor, their head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, enough credit.
I don't know, man. Like, Joe Burrow leading the league in completion percentage, I think leading the league in yards per attempt at that number as well. Like, it feels like we're giving him the exact amount of credit that he deserves. Like, I'm going to have questions about Zach Taylor over the long swath of time, right? Coaching, you know this. It's something that's kind of hard to tell from the outside. We can grade decisions that coaches make. We can look at that. But so much of the day-to-day that goes on with this team, I don't know how much to assign to Zach Taylor. But, Chris, we know what Joe Burrow is. He's got the reputation now of being a program changer, right? A guy who can elevate. Like, listen to the way Ed Orgeron, his former coach at LSU, described him. This was Ed O back on January 21st with Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio talking about what he saw in Joe Burrow when he was recruiting him from Ohio State over to LSU.
Well, you know, it was a meeting that we had during. We had it for like a day and a half recruiting. We had a meeting with six people in there, six coaches and Joe and his parents. It took me 5 minutes to figure out Joe was by far the smartest person in that room, including me and all my coaches. And I love it. You know, and that was the one thing. But when he came there, his work ethic, you know, he had three or four quarterbacks that were head of the football team. He came in there and he just won the team over day by day by his hard work and his persistence. But you know what? When I first saw him throw the ball, he had some work that he had to get done. And he got better at throwing the ball as in his days at LSU. And I got to give the credit to Steve Ensminger, who was his quarterback coach.
So, Chris, like, we're hearing that going back to college with this guy. So he seems like an easy place to go when we assign credit to this, because we've also seen very publicly just the swagger he brought to that team and this team consistently.
No doubt about it. But the work ethic that Ed O describes is something that we continue to hear about Joe Burrow. Even though you have the flash, even though you have the sauce to swag, there is an underlying grit when it comes to his preparedness and his willing to be able to go out there and grind. And that's the thing I think separates him. That's what you get when you start talking about somebody that is a coach's son. And Joe Burrow, when he was at LSU, he would find times to find opportunities to get with his receivers at a neighboring high school and throw routes on air to those guys and just have the opportunity to develop that rapport and improve his skill set. And so that's one of the things that you have to appreciate about him. And he's going to bring that same mentality that allowed him to rewrite the record books at LSU to Cincinnati. And I think that's how you explain this quick turnaround. Because when you look at Joe Burrow, I mean, it's not elite arm talent. It's not elite athleticism. The thing that makes him special beyond his football acumen is just that intangible that a lot of people characterize as that it factor. But just the ability to be able to galvanize the locker room, to be able to command that respect of his teammates and get them to buy into an agenda that's bigger than themselves, I think that's the part that separates Joe Burrow from a lot of other quarterbacks that we see drafted high that come into this league and they don't have early success. Joe Burrow has found a way to be able to affect the belief level and the confidence level of his teammates to the point that you find a team that does have a lot of deficiencies, a team that has a lot of warts, they found a way to win their division. And not only that, go on a run and end up in the Super Bowl. So again, I think the thing that makes Joe Burrow special is that intangible to get guys to believe that they're capable of doing high-level winning, even though they don't necessarily have the experience of it. Joe Burrow brings that level of credibility to them. He brings that level of confidence, that level of belief. And Gojo, as somebody that was on a team that had a quarterback that inspired that kind of belief, well, maybe not in the regular season, but in the postseason, I can tell you it does make a hell of a lot of difference, man. Eli Manning in the postseason was absolutely money, Gojo. There was no question about whether or not he could make the throws that could win you a game. The throw to Mario Manningham, as a defense, we knew if we got a stop and got the ball back to Eli, he was going to make something happen. Like, we were just praying that Will Blackman didn't fumble the punt when we got it back. Because as long as Eli got that ball, no matter how much field he had to drive, he was going to put together a scoring drive that would give us an opportunity to win a game. Go back to the NFC Championship game in 2011. Eli Manning took an absolute beating. It was worse than what we saw from Joe Burrow in the divisional round for the Tennessee Titans. I had a front row seat to it. I have never seen a quarterback in all of my years in the National Football League get beat to sleep like Eli Manning got beat up by that San Francisco 49ers defensive line that had Justin Smith, that had Ray McDonald, that had, I forget his name, the pass rusher. They had a lot of – Ahmad Brooks was on that defensive line as well. They had a ton of defensive linemen that could get after it and that could put pressure on the quarterback. And Eli Manning constantly got hit, but he constantly made the throws that ended up being game-winning plays. And so when you have a quarterback that inspires that kind of belief, it makes a world of difference. The guy I was thinking about is Aldon Smith, too. He was on that defensive line. So,
oh, by the way.
So it just goes to show you, man, when you have a quarterback that can inspire that kind of belief in the team, you're capable of accomplishing some special things. And that 2011 Giants team that won the Super Bowl is still the only team not to win double-digit games in the regular season to win the Lombardi Trophy. That's how much belief in the quarterback, that's how far belief in the quarterback can take you. Joe Burrow has those same type of characteristics, the same way we saw it with Joe Montana, the same way we see it with Tom Brady. I'm not going to assign that level of success to his career just yet, but when it comes to that it factor, Joe Burrow has it. And you either have it or you don't, and he absolutely has it.
Coming up next, we'll talk to a DN for the New Orleans Saints and Cam Jordan, who knows all about having a quarterback that can change the way your franchise is run, on what he sees for the future without Drew Brees for that team, and what they might do with their head coaching vacancy. We've got that coming up next. We will do that after this word from Indeed. Guys, just because it's Cupid's month doesn't mean you have to have a long, love a difficult hiring process here. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. It's the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates. With tools like Instant Match, you'll instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. Just invite them to apply, and you can even schedule and conduct interviews all from your employer dashboard. To learn more about it, visit Indeed.com/credit. Cam Jordan of the New Orleans Saints joins us next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Rolling along here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get back to your calls on the CNG call-in line about Doug Peterson being hired as the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. But Mike, we got to go to the CNG hotline right now and bring on Saints All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan, who's joining us on behalf of Hidden Valley Ranch, which just so happens to be one of my favorite products, especially with the wings on Super Bowl Sunday. Cam, how you doing?
I'm good. I feel like I feel like right now, currently, the me that I am prefers 7-time Pro Bowl Cam Jordan because I have now one more Pro Bowl than my dad.
Ooh, hello. Damn. Wow. I can't imagine your Pop Steve is going to feel real good about that.
Oh, I've dropped it a couple times today. He got in yesterday. And so I was like, Dad, come to practice. Come to the 7th Pro Bowl practice today. That's it. We've been to Hawaii. We've been to Orlando. And now the 7th one is in Vegas. Isn't this great? I've dropped it subtly in there. And he's taking it like a champ.
No, that's what's up, man. Congratulations on yet another Pro Bowl added to your decorated career as an NFL player. I'm sure you want to add a Super Bowl in there at some point as well. No, but Cam, I got to ask you about the news of the week with Brian Flores filing a class action lawsuit against the National Football League, against the New York Giants, the Miami Dolphins, and the Denver Broncos. What was your reaction when you initially heard about the suit?
Man, I mean, I love it. If you want to know the truth, to not, and I don't even know Brian Flores or all the details in the situation, But if you feel slighted and you know, you obviously have seen what happens in the NFL, where the NFL has given incentives to hire a black coach. You know, they're giving draft picks, they're giving all these incentives to hire a GM, a upper, whatever you want to call it, front office, you know, the front of office, the upper office guys. That's how you know there's probably already a start of a problem, right? If you have to incentivize something, it's something that doesn't happen a lot. So,
no doubt.
You know, for Brian Flores to bring that out and to have the courage to stand on it, knowing that good and well, you know, as he said, he may be blackballed from this. I mean, that takes courage, that takes everything, and I hope he's not. I hope he gets a chance, you know, however the case may unfold.
Cam, is that something that players talk about, especially players of color looking around the league and seeing the lack of black head coaches right now?
I mean, you know, you always want to see everybody get their fair shot. And if, you know, you look at some NFL franchises that just pull guys straight from the college ranks, some, you know, a college coach that has had some decent success at the college level, where you have maybe some guys who are probably more available or more ready because they've been a DC or they've been an OC or in the NFL and they know how, or they've been a former player, they've been in the NFL and they know how the NFL works and everything that goes with it. That, you know, it seems like there's always an ability to say, yeah, it'd be nice to see more people like me that, you know, then as a kid, you can look up and say, hey, this is something tangible. This is something that I can actually become. I see somebody doing it instead of being groundbreaking. It just becomes a norm.
Cam, earlier this week, your teammate DeMario Davis said that one of the examples of the disparity in hiring practices in the NFL was offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, he's been linked to the job with the New Orleans Saints, and he's scheduled to have an interview with that organization. Your thoughts on Eric Bieniemy as a potential coaching candidate for your New Orleans Saints?
Now, that is beyond me and my knowledge.
Cam, let me ask you this question: what kind of coach would you?
I don't know. Honestly, I hope he's an offensive-minded coach, so I don't really have to deal with him as a defensive player. If offensive-minded head coach comes down to you, you know you've done something terribly wrong for him to come down. I've never really had a defensive-minded head coach, so I've never really had to worry about it.
Well, Cam, let me ask you this: what are some of the characteristics that you would like the Saints to have in their next head coach?
Characteristics. You know, if you think about what Dan Campbell, how emotional Dan Campbell is about each and every one win or loss for the Detroit Lions, I think that's a phenomenal attribute. When I think about, you know, I'd probably have to say Raheem Moore, might be somebody worthy of it. I just feel like when you see passion in that game, when you know he's, and when they actually care about their players, that's when you see teams have great success. When it's not just about X's and O's, it's about the actual people playing the game.
Ken Engel Jr. talking to 7-time Pro Bowl DN for the New Orleans Saints, Cam Jordan on the hotline with us. Cam, you mentioned that disparity, that difference between offense and defense and your guys' role on that side of the ball. How different was that this year without Drew for the first time in your career over there and having to deal with a different quarterback room?
I mean, playing with four quarterbacks is tough on any one team. You know, what was also tough was I think we led the league with most different starters. What was it? Like the number was like, what, 53, 58? It was some astronomical number played in the season. And then at one point in time, I mean, we played a Monday night game against Miami. And we were missing 23 players, you know, from COVID. There's a multitude of things. Before we even mention not having Drew Brees, who's, you know, the GOAT at the quarterback position. You think about, you know, luckily that we had, you know, 2 years of where Drew had to step down. We had he was injured, where Teddy Bridgewater took over. You had, the year prior to this one, where you had Taysom take over. We proved to ourselves we were still able to win at a high clip. So, therefore, our confidence, though Drew retired, you can't ever replace Drew. You still said, hey, I know we can win games. And this year proved, with four different quarterbacks, we still had a 9-7 season. So, we know that as a defense, we can be the defense that our team needs. And that's only going to give us more confidence towards the future of saying we can be more than just what we need. We can be the reason why we win games and not just a caveat to how we win games.
Cam, and staying with the quarterbacks, Jameis Winston is going to be one of the big decisions that the organization has to make moving forward. He's an impending free agent. I just want to know your thoughts on Jameis Winston, you guys being teammates for the first time down in New Orleans this past season.
I mean, I hope it's not a big decision. I hope it's one of those quick decisions. Jameis signed here, and then we move forward. What Jameis was accomplishing at that first quarter of the season before he got injured at the Tampa game, he was balling, and he propelled our offense to do a lot of great things. So I would love for him to be a quarterback of the future. And if it's not him, then if the best scenario played in my mind and it's not Jameis Winston, and I had to, albeit, settle for a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson in the investigations. I could do that. I heard Lamar Jackson, hasn't signed a huge contract with the Ravens. I'm not saying that I may be in a text thread and I may be actively recruiting, but I'm just simply saying.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying here. Again, we totally understand. Shoot or shoot, and that's exactly what you got to do when it comes to the future of the quarterback position. Cam Jordan with us on the hotline here on Canty and Golic Jr. Cam, we mentioned off the top, you are here on behalf of a pretty cool campaign with Hidden Valley. What can you tell us about that?
I'm not going to single any teammates out. I'm not going to single any friends out. But you always have that, maybe single a wife out that while you're eating chicken wings, lemon pepper, buffalo, baked, teriyaki, all the assortment of wings that one may come into contact with, you have that one person that doesn't finish their wings. They don't go about properly cleansing the bones, and I'm not saying it grinds my gears, but I just feel like, I was able to partner up with Hidden Valley Ranch to bring, to introduce the Coalition Against Wing Waste, which if you go to caw.org, caww.org, you'll be able to, see a couple of the techniques that I use to avoid wing waste, especially this upcoming Super Bowl where we know that there's going to be over 1.4 billion chicken wings ate. So, if you go to the website, you can showcase the valuable techniques that will help you. So you think about the bone splitter, the meat umbrella, or just how I ravenously eat my wings, the dipping bite, where you just go ahead and get your wing, scoop it in the ranch, and you polish your wing off. Don't leave half a wing on there. Don't leave the meat in between the bones on a flat. Like, do the right thing and finish your wings. Stop, hashtag stop wing waste. If you want to just go to the website, you'll see that. You'll be able to, follow not only Hidden Valley Ranch on Twitter and Instagram, but take a picture or a video of how you eat your wings and how you're cleansing them. And, you're able to hashtag the Stop Wing Waste and hashtag contest, get you in there, and you're able to win, wings for up to a year, as well as probably autographed items by me, because I'm all for us coming together and stopping the wing waste.
Boy, if there is ever a cause that this show in particular could get behind, it's making good and damn sure people don't waste their wings out here. Cam Jordan out here doing the Lord's work with the folks at Hidden Valley here. Cam, good luck in your quest. Congratulations on that 7th Pro Bowl, and best of luck going forward. We're looking forward to watching you again.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys for having me on. And together, we can stop wing waste.
There we go. Stop the wing waste. Listen to the hashtag and eat your damn wings. We will get into an absolutely horrific admission by one of our own around here during that last segment that we had. And we will take a look at Ben Simmons' future next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as Malik Monk and my LA Lakers host Mitchell Robinson and the New York Knicks. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. We intended to get into Ben Simmons and the beef that he has with Shaquille O'Neal, but that's going to have to take a back burner to what Mike Golic Jr. just teased in our last segment. Mike, you said we got somebody living foul when it comes to wings and Hidden Valley Ranch dipping sauce? What's going on?
Well,
there?
Yeah, no. So, like, we just had Cam Jordan come on here, and he's trying to stop wing waste, and he's doing a great job of that. He's a Pro Bowler. He's a man of principle and conviction who understands that when you're eating chicken wings in any form or fashion in any function on earth, your job is to clean the wing here. We're not about to be leaving it out here, leaving extras. There's people that would love to have some of that meat in their lives, and they don't have that. And so I really think, Chris, that's a great way to learn a lot about your teammates, a potential spouse, like how they go about eating wings, how they go about handling their business as an adult and as a human being. And as we're going through all of that, Renee, who's working and helping produce the show today, gets in my ear as Cam Jordan is describing in vivid detail the people that are committing sins against chicken wings. And all I hear from Renee is, he's talking about me. I'm that guy. Like, Renee, you said that as if you were almost proud of it, which is the concerning part to me.
I'm not going to lie. I aired myself out, but I'm proud of it.
Why?
Why are you proud of it?
You know what? I don't know. I have to stand up for the people who don't eat all the, you know, the entire wing.
I don't know how trustworthy people like you are, Renee. I mean, you're right up there with people that wear black Air Force Ones. They choose violence on a regular basis.
he's right.
I don't know if I can believe in you anymore, man. And I know you do great work.
Well, I'm
we
from the
Burrows. We love having you as a part of the team. But you're talking about not cleaning the wing, bro. That's a flag on the play. That's 15-yard personal foul. I don't know that I can trust you now.
Hey, I'm from the borough, so I got to stand up for my peoples.
Wait. I'm from the borough,
yeah,
too. What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
We from the same place.
You indicting these people.
The Air Force Ones, man. You got to stand up for them. No, but
The Air Force Ones are cool, but we wear white Air Force Ones, and we only wear them
true.
A couple of times. You don't wear black Air Force Ones. If somebody is walking down the street with black Air Force Ones, yeah. Let me give you a word of advice.
Go
cross
to the other
the
side.
Damn street.
Yeah, cross
exactly.
The street.
Exactly. There's something off with that person. Just like there's something off with somebody that doesn't clean the wing.
That's why
there's something wrong with you people.
I go boneless for that specific reason. I go boneless.
Boneless is a preference thing, and I get it. Like, there's some people that don't want to deal with it. I get it. It's close. It's akin to chicken fingers. It's chicken fingers or Jay's. I'm with you. I understand it. It's not the way that I fly. I'm a bone-in wing kind of guy. But not cleaning the bone when you do have the bone-in wings is a problem for me. And if you come to some party or some event that I'm hosting, I fully expect for you to clean the wing if it's a bone in the wing. And if you're not committed to doing that, then don't bother showing up.
Yeah, see, to me, that's a respect for the situation thing right there. Like, it is reason for me. Like, if you're going out on a date with someone for the first time and you go somewhere, first off, chicken wings a great litmus test to find out, all right, do I have someone that's going to roll up their sleeves and get messy with me? Or am I going to deal with someone who's going to eat around this thing a little bit? Then you see how they eat wings, what their approach to sauces. Are they a ranch or a blue cheese person? Are they a drums or a flat person? Like, you can use wings to learn a lot about a person. But, Renee, like, the chief sin among them, again, like, are you just not hungry? Like, help me understand what's going on here. Are you not hungry enough coming to the party?
Oh, no, I'm starving. It's just something about the bone. I don't know.
You know
what?
You know what?
You're wasting the wings that we're ordering for the party, though. Like, you're eating 10 wings, but you might only needed 7 wings. You know, if you clean the bone, then you're making sure that you're leaving wings for other people that are going to consume them.
I will literally.
That's the thing I have a problem with.
If I go to a Chris Candy bar party and there are wings there with the bone in, I'm going to do my best to clear it off.
You know what? I know this must come from a place of trauma. As someone who once got to chunky milk at the bottom of one of those school milk things and then never drank a full one again, we have to explore the deep place of hurt this comes from. We will get to more of that in a little bit here as we try and fix this. But coming up next, Joe Burrow was able to fix the Bengals. How sustainable is this? We'll tell you next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.